Yo, what is happening, guys? Nathan back once again with another episode of the Unplugged Freedom Podcast. And in today's episode, we are actually going to be talking about float tanks. Float tanks, float therapy, sensory deprivation tanks, whatever you want to call it, float pods. Might seem a little out of breath. I'm just actually on a little bit of a workout, enjoying the sun way up in northern British Columbia. Pretty cool, pretty nice out, getting my tan on. And so float tanks. If you've never heard of them before, it's one of my favorite things to do, to really dive deep and explore the mind. And I always recommend people do, because people in today's world, they're so disconnected from themselves. They have no idea. They have no idea how controlled by their phone, their device, they truly are. And they have no idea that they're not actually in control of their own life. The decisions that they make are not actually their own decisions. They don't want to buy a house because they actually want to buy a house. They want to buy a house because they want to look good in front of people. They want to look successful. And so they don't want to go to school. They just want to, they want to do good by their parents. But when in reality, they want to travel the world and see the most beautiful sights around. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with buying a house or going to school or getting married or having kids or anything like that. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is when you're making these decisions and they're not actually your own decisions. They're actually ideas, opinions, and beliefs that have been instilled upon you by outside influences. And this can be your social circle, societal rules, your family expectations, all kinds of things. You might have a very traditional family and you live life a certain way. Right after high school, you go to college, and then you go to university, and then you get a career, and then you start advancing up the ladder of that career. And that may be the way that everybody did it, but then deep down in your heart, you think, no, I feel like there's something else for me. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with that lifestyle, if that's what you truly want to do. And that's what I always tell people, is that whatever lifestyle you choose to do, make sure it's what you truly want to do. And so, with float tanks, how this comes in is that they're also called sensory deprivation tanks, and it's for a very good reason. Sensory deprivation tanks, basically, it's a box, let's say, about 7 feet long and about 4 feet wide, and let's say about 4 feet high. Okay, I don't know what that is in meters, even though I'm Canadian, we'd use the metric system, but we're so backwards up in Canada. We'll say, go down the road about 500 meters, take a left, you'll drive down there for about a couple miles, and then you'll take a right 300 feet in front of you. You'll see a stop sign. That's just what we do. We haven't really adopted one or the other. So anyways, it's a box, right? And inside this box, it's as soundproof as it can be. They can come on all kinds of shapes and sizes and looks, and some of them look fancy, like the space pods and stuff. But as you get to know floating and float tanks, and you get to know which ones are the good ones and which ones are not, you really want the ones that keep the temperature the same. You don't want ones that raise to a certain temperature and then when you get in it, it lowers because it ruins the whole thing. So you got this box, and it's soundproof as it can be. There's no light inside unless you turn on the light, and no light can seep in. It's pitch black. So what happens is you open this door. Let's say I'm going to talk about the square cube one. It's probably one of my favorite ones. It's just a very basic, simple one. It looks like a box. It's got this kind of a square door on it. You open up the door, you climb in, and you close the door, and what's inside is there's about, say, 10 inches of water, maybe a foot. I don't even think a foot. And so in this water, you're able to float. And the reason that you can float is because there's actually 300 kilograms of Epsom salts. 300 kilograms. Absolutely heavy. It's insane. So if you've ever been in maybe the Dead Sea, maybe you've been in the ocean, you may have found that in the Dead Sea, you can definitely float without even trying. And then if you swim in the ocean, when you swim in the ocean, it's much easier than swimming in a freshwater lake, let's say. And it's because of the salt that is in there. I remember when I went to Bali and I was living in Bali, we'd go swimming all the time. I thought I was a champion swimmer. I was like, man, I'm getting really good at this swimming thing. Come back to Canada, we went to this creek. We're swimming in this creek and I was like, oh, I'm gonna swim over to the bridge. Almost died. Almost fucking died. I was like, oh my God, I'm not a champion swimmer. No, I was not. Thought that was the end of me. But in this water, you have 300 kilograms of Epsom salts, and that allows you to float. And so, since you're able to float without any effort, you don't have to do anything. What happens is there's actually no pressure points. So there's no pressure points on your body. You know, if you're on a bad mattress, with let's say just springs, those are pressure points. They're pushing up against you. And that's why they can be actually very uncomfortable and very bad for you. And they kind of hurt after a while because they're actually pushing up against you. In a sensory deprivation tank, you lay down on your back, obviously. You lay down on your back and you just float. And so you're floating. So you're floating without any effort at all. And the temperature of the water, I don't know it specifically, but it's at a temperature where at first it might seem a little cold because you and your ambient temperature might be a little bit warmer. So you get in, it may feel, depending on your ambient temperature, may feel a little bit warmer or a little bit colder, but not a whole lot. So you get in, you're floating, and then after a while, what happens is your body will acclimate to the water temperature. This usually takes about anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes. About 20 minutes in, you can't even feel where the water is anymore. You don't know where the water begins and your skin starts. Like, you don't know that difference. You can't feel it anymore. It's quite the experience. Now, Epsom salts has a lot of magnesium in it. So your skin, being the biggest organ in your body, you're laying in this, you're naked, if you want to be, and you're laying there, and you have all this magnesium being pumped through your body, and that's putting you in a relaxative state. Now, when you shut the door, sometimes they might give you earplugs, and then you put the earplugs in, and if they're really good earplugs, you won't feel them. They won't be pushing up against your ear. Hopefully they give you good ones. So it's pitch black inside. You have earplugs in. It's as soundproof as it can be. And you can't hear anything. You can't see anything. And when your body acclimates to the water, you now can't feel anything. This is where the fun begins. The first 20 minutes in a float tank, you are just kind of wondering, should my arms be here? Should they be here? Should I have my hands above my head or should I have them by my hips? You're kind of going back and forth in your mind, just all around. You do this for about 20 minutes. You're just kind of questioning, am I doing this right kind of thing? I've done floating probably around 50 times. Done it in Whistler, done it in Vancouver. I've done it in Australia. I've done it all over the place, loved it. One of my favorite things. So the first 20 minutes, you're really questioning things. Whenever somebody buys or tries float tanks, I always say buy three at the minimum, because your first one is not going to be very good because you're questioning and you're going to be in your head a lot. The second one, you're going to know what to expect a little bit more, so you're going to be a little bit more relaxed. The third one is going to be much better. And so then today I'm going to talk about like how you can really amplify your floating experience. So, first 20 minutes in the float tank, you shut the door, you're laying there, and you're in your head. This is what happens for me. Everybody's float is different. Yours could be very different, but this is basically what happens to me every time. Every time, 15, 20 minutes, I'm in my head questioning, is this working? What am I doing? All of that stuff. I'm going back and forth. Somewhere in that 15 to 20 minute window, something happens. So you have all this magnesium being pumped into your body. Your senses, your sight, your hearing, your feeling are being lost. So if you think about today's world, we have stimulus all around us. Especially in today's world, we have notifications happening like every couple of minutes. We have noises, cars, as you can hear in the background, there's cars coming by me. There's light, you know, the sun reflects off something. That's all hitting your senses. That's all stimulus. So imagine taking that all away. Your sight, your sound, you don't hear anything, you don't see anything, you don't feel anything. Right now I feel the wind on my skin and I can feel the dirt on my feet. I can feel the phone in my hand. So this is all stimulus. Every single moment we are surrounded by stimulus just constantly. There's birds in the distance, as you can hear. There's all kinds of things. So imagine taking that all away. Your sight, your feeling, your sound. And what are you left with? You're left with your mind. And this is where the magic happens. So many people are scared to be left alone by themselves. And this is, if you're one of these people, I highly recommend that you take a float tank right away, because there's so many people, when I describe a float tank, they're like, I would never do that. And you can see the fear just instill of them. Because the thought of being left alone with themselves is just horrifying to them. But it's these people who definitely need to be in a float tank, who need to really enjoy themselves. And so you take away all these stimuli, whatever you want to call it, and you're left with nothing but your mind. You have magnesium pumping through your body. And there's a magic point, for me at least, where I'm in my head, I'm thinking, but then all of a sudden there's like a gap of time that disappears in between, and then all of a sudden what happens for me is I end up deep in an avenue of my mind that I've never been in. But here's the thing, is that you don't actually know that you're deep in your mind in that moment. It's so hard to describe. Maybe if you're into meditation and things like that, you know what I mean. But it's so hard to describe. You're deep into this new avenue of your mind, and you don't even know that you're there, but you're there. And the thing is, you don't even realize that just a few minutes ago, you were in your head questioning, am I doing this right? Should my arms be here? Should they be there? You don't even have a clue about that stuff. You're just in a place that you have no idea that you're even in, but you're there. And there was no transition period in between. You just ended up there, but you don't even realize that you're there. I know it sounds crazy, but you really have to know meditation and float tanks in order to be able to understand what I'm talking about and to be able to experience it yourself. So as you're going through, you're deep into your mind. You don't even realize how you got there or that you're even there. And you're kind of just in that state. Maybe it's an alpha state. Maybe it's a whatever state, whatever it is, meditative state. But then all of a sudden, here's my favorite part. Is there's this realization that I'm there. So you don't know that you're there at the beginning, at first. You're just kind of there in that, deep in that part of your mind. And then all of a sudden, for me, there's this realization of, whoa, where am I? And in that moment of realization, it's the only way I can describe it is it's like being sucked back to reality. You just, and then I'm like, open my eyes. I'm like, whoa, where the hell was I just now? Whoa. And I'm kind of like laying there and I realize that I'm in the flow tank and I was like in some alternate universe or something. It's so hard to describe. You have to experience it for yourself in order to be able to understand what I'm even talking about. But it happens all the time for myself. You're just kind of there without knowing that you're there. And then once you realize that you're there, and then it sucks you back and brings you back to reality. And it's such an interesting feeling. And then you're kind of like, whoa, whoa. For me, at least, I'm kind of like dumbfounded. I'm thinking like, wow, where was I just then? Whoa, like, what was that? What was that? I've never been there before. And it's one of the coolest experiences ever. So that is something that can happen in a float tank. And it's because you're in such a relaxative state that you're able to just take a dive into your mind and let your mind cruise. You're not thinking about this or that or what's happening here, what's happening there. Your mind's just going and it's just flowing. And because, you know, like sometimes we might think of something. We might be, let's say we're trying to practice meditation, for example. And we're like, okay, we're going to do this meditation thing. We hear it's good for us. So we're there. And then all of a sudden a thought comes in, because thoughts just come in. That's natural. That's part of meditation. Thoughts come in. All of a sudden a bad thought comes in. Maybe a thought that you don't want to think about. And then all of a sudden you push that away. You're like, oop, I'm going to push that away. But what you're actually doing is that's taking conscious effort in order to push that away, rather than let it come in and feel what it feels. So this can be a bad experience. This could be a good experience. This could be, let's say it's a bad experience, right? Of course, we don't want to feel bad feelings because our mind doesn't know the difference between reality and non-reality. So when we think about something, our mind only thinks that it's real because it doesn't know the difference. So if we think about it enough, we can conjure up those feelings that it gives us. It bugs on me. So if you think of something and you don't like or want to think about that, well, you push it away. And this is what happens when we bottle things up in our mind, in our heart, is that takes conscious effort. And because it takes conscious effort, that puts stress on us. So when you're floating and you're letting yourself go and you're letting yourself relax, you're allowing these feelings to come in and you're actually allowing them to feel and you're allowing them to do their thing. You're feeling it. It may be painful in the moment, but you're feeling it. You're experiencing it. You're allowing it to do its thing. And so that is what's so great about float tanks. Is it's a really good way for anybody who wants to get into meditation, because a lot of times we might think of meditation as like sitting cross-legged, super uncomfortable, we don't bend that way, and supposed to be sitting in a weird state, and we just can't do it. We're like, okay, I tried that meditation thing, it doesn't work. This could potentially help you along the way, and especially if you're somebody who is standing in the grocery line and all of a sudden the world stops for one moment while you're standing waiting in line and you can't help but just take out your phone and start scrolling aimlessly. Watch people. The next time you're at the grocery store and you're standing in line, watch people. The moment the world stops and they're left alone by themselves, out comes the phone and in comes the mindless scrolling. Happens all the time. Those people that you see, and if you're one of them, need to be in a float tank. So that is one thing that can happen in a float tank, is you end up in a place in your mind that you've never been before. You realize that you're there, and then all of a sudden it sucks you back to reality, and you're like, holy shit, where was I? That was insane. Those are probably like my favorite ones. What else can happen is when you're laying there, because you have no hearing, you can't hear anything, you can't see anything, you can't feel anything. So this is a rectangle box, okay? You get, your feet are at one end, your head is at the other end. It is physically impossible for you to be, or because you're floating, you couldn't float in a circle and end up on the other way. It's physically impossible for you to do that by floating. Of course, you could if you like got up and out of the water and stuff, but if you were just laying there floating, it's physically impossible for you to rotate around so that you are on the other end of the tank. Sometimes what might happen is you might feel like you're on the other end. Once again, it's something that you have to experience in order for you to understand. You might think like, well, that's crazy. Like, how do you do that? You just, I don't know how to describe it. You just feel like you're at the other end. And then you're kind of thinking like, how did I get here? And you know that it's physically impossible for you to be able to actually be there. Even though you're not there, but you feel like you are. Because remember, you can't see anything. It's pitch black in there. You can't see anything, you can't feel anything. But you feel, like, within you, you feel like you're at the other end. And you're thinking, how did I get here? There's no possible way I could have actually gotten here. It's physically impossible for me to have. But how did I get here? And then your mind's kind of going through this whole thing. It's kind of like a mind warp. So that's another thing that can happen. Another thing is that because you don't have any pressure points, these are not pressure points that are being pushed on you. That's why you lose all sense of your touch and your body can fully relax. When you have something pushing up against you, your body's actually pushing back. So if you're just floating without any effort at all, your body can fully relax. And so when it has the ability to be able to fully relax without needing to push back on anything, and it has magnesium being coursed through its blood and being put into a relaxive state, it doesn't have to focus on outside stimulus, then your body gets put into a different mode. So sometimes what can happen is you're laying flat and you can feel like you're floating forward or maybe even backward. Like as if you were out in space and you were floating like in a circular motion forward or backwards. And you're like, whoa, like, and then your mind once again is going through a whole bunch of stuff because you know that that's physically impossible for you to be doing right now. But in your mind, it feels like it. And remember, your mind doesn't know the difference between reality and non-reality. So when you're left in a float tank, you can't see, you can't hear, you're only left with your mind. So it's in these moments that, well, that is your reality. You can almost make up whatever reality you want to make up within there. So you're floating forward or backwards, and it's one of the craziest feelings ever. Another thing that can happen is time feels like it jumps, like it's super fast. The first time I did a float tank, I heard it on a TV show, and I found it in Whistler, BC. Went up there for Christmas one time and went there, and I was walking down around the village, and all of a sudden I was like, what is that place? And I remember on the sign it said something like, experience nothing, it's quite something. And that always kind of stuck with me, and I was like, it's so true. So I look and I'm like, oh, no way, this is one of those float tank things. So I signed up, and the next day we're back and we had 90 minutes in the float tank. These guys had like one of these like super fancy looking pods, space pod looking float tanks. Really cool. So 90 minutes, you get in. Like I said, first 20 minutes, you're just kind of in your head too much. Then all of a sudden, you're in a place that you don't even realize that you're in without a transition in between. Like, there was no like, okay, here I go. I'm getting into that meditative state. No, you're just in it. And then it's like a dream, you know, the old Madonna song. It's like a dream, no end and no beginning. And so anyways, this was my first float tank, and I'm laying there and I'm kind of in this state. And then all of a sudden, and the music and the light come on when your time is up, and all of a sudden the light starts to come on and the music starts to turn on. But the thing is I wasn't sleeping. And you have to, once again, you have to experience this in order to understand it. There's a difference between sleeping and being in a certain state of mind, like an alpha state. Because you're very conscious and you're very aware to a certain degree when you're in a meditative state versus when you are sleeping. When you're sleeping, you're sleeping. But when you're in a meditative state, you're very, very much conscious and you know it, but you're at the same time, you're not conscious. It's hard to describe. Once again, you got to experience it to know and understand. So all of a sudden, I'm laying there, 90 minutes we're supposed to be in this thing. And then all of a sudden, the lights and the music come on. And it was like my head exploded. Because it felt like it was like maybe like 15 minutes. I was like, no. I'm like, what? What? Like, first thing I do is I like grab my watch and I look at it. I'm like, and there it was. So that was the time, 90 minutes. And I remember I'm having a shower because there's always a shower in between. There's a shower, and I'm having the shower, and I'm mind blown. I'm like, what? What? I'm like, where did the time go? I'm like, what? And I was just like, mind was blown, just fully. And I come out, and they usually have like a little place you can like chill, drink some tea and stuff. And I was just like, wow. I'm like, that was one of the coolest experiences ever. Because yes, you're not sleeping. So it's such a strange feeling. And so that's another thing that can happen is like you're in such a state, and then when you come out, it feels like it was only like 10 minutes, and it's so mind-bending. The feeling after you have a float is just, it's amazing. But you have to, in order to get that, you do have to make sure you prepare in the beginning. Like I said, I've done many floats, probably close to about 50. And in order to get the most of them, I've kind of like perfected and worked on trying to make sure that I have a whole routine down. So I'll give you a few of those pointers. Is that you wake up in the morning, you have a good night's rest of sleep, okay? You're not groggy, you're not, okay, you want to have a good night's rest of sleep. Make sure you have a lot of time allotted before your float. So if you don't want to have a float at 7 o'clock in the morning and have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning just to have a whole routine, and you're going to be tired and groggy, like, don't do that. Set it for later if you can. So you wake up, you have a good night's rest of sleep, you have plenty of time before your float, you know how long it's going to take you to get there. You want to arrive maybe like 15 minutes early, for sure, at least 15 minutes early, so that you're not rushed and you're in a good state of mind. What I usually do before a float is I will make sure I get up in the morning and I get my blood flowing just enough so that you're kind of at the point where your blood's flowing and you're maybe just about to start breaking a sweat. And in that moment, you actually stretch. You give yourself a nice full-bodied stretch. You stretch your body head to toe. You do a full-on breathing exercise. You're closing your eyes and you're doing a very good breath work, whatever breath work you want to do. You've stretched your whole body. For me, I like to listen to binaural beats. I like to listen to maybe like 432 hertz frequencies. And what I'm doing is I'm putting myself in a certain state of mind. I'm not thinking about tomorrow. I'm not thinking about whatever. I may even have a cold shower to shock myself, either right when I get up or maybe even afterwards. There's all kinds of things. So, or you could have a hot bath in order to relax you beforehand. Whatever it is for you. The idea is that you want to make sure that you're not rushed. You feel good. You feel relaxed. You eat something healthy, not nothing heavy. You eat something healthy and fresh, and you make sure you drink enough fluids, but not too much that in the middle of your float, you got to get out and take a pee. That's probably one of the worst things to happen. It's because you usually waste about 20 minutes going back and forth of, do I need to take a pee? And then eventually you do, and you just, yeah, it's just terrible. So you drink enough, you eat something clean, you stretch, you're relaxed. Try not to drink coffee, but if you're at a point where you are drinking so much coffee that you get the jitters when you don't drink coffee, well, maybe even just have like half a cup of coffee or less, just to give your body that little bit of a, you know, what it needs. The idea is to get yourself into a certain state of mind, make sure you're relaxed, you leave with plenty of time to get there, you eventually arrive. Maybe you even are repeating some sort of mantra to yourself. And then eventually you arrive there, you sign in, you do your thing, and then they tell you, okay, you're good. Well, you hop in the shower, clean yourself up, and then you set yourself, you get your earplugs in, you set yourself all up, and you hop in the tank. Some people might say, when these, you know, they might say, oh, well, that's a lot of work. And it's like, well, yeah, it is a lot of work. You'll get out what you put into it. You can do a half an hour workout. Like you and I can do an hour long workout and, you know, you'll get out of it, you know, whatever you put into it. You can still be obese from an hour long workout every day of the week. And I could not from doing half the amount of work that you do. Because I put in so much more within that lot of time frame. So you'll get out what you put into it. So that's what I always recommend to people. I would say don't go straight from work to a float. You always want to have this routine that breaks things up. So because you're going to be in your mind, let's say if you go straight from work to a float, this can be a bad thing because you're thinking about work too much. You need something to break it in between. You need something to change your state. And if you must do something like that, well, that's when you might need to do something extreme, like have a cold shower. And you may need to physically break that physical barrier, your physiology. And so you would, let's say if you came straight from work, you would do a cold shower to shock the system, and then you do a hot shower, and then you go back to a cold shower, and just bam, 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 back and forth, and then that would shock your system to get you to stop thinking about work, and then all of a sudden into a better mindset to have your float. So that is float tanks. There's so much more that can be talked about. I would suggest, you know, look at more podcasts to listen about float tanks. Try it. Most places, they will give you 3 package deals. So you can buy 3 for a really good deal. Usually anywhere from about 50 to 60 Canadian dollars is what I would pay for a float. You can buy package deals. And yeah, some of them will be better than others. Like I said, there's ones that have, they set the temperature in the water, but once you get in it, the temperature is not kept there. And I don't like these ones because you wake up cold, at least I do. You wake up cold and it ruins your float and you're like, man, I'm freezing. Whereas ones where they keep the temperature the same, those are my favorite ones, and those keep you in that state. So there's one at the town that I'm in, and I don't know, I feel like they installed it crooked slightly because I keep bumping into the wall. And I don't know why, but I just keep bumping into the wall. I've never had that before. And yeah, if you're in a state of mind, then all of a sudden, you just tap the wall. That's all it takes to break your meditative state. It sucks. And then rumor has it at that one, there's a pizza shop next door. And if you go in the afternoons, they're making the pizza and they're kneading the dough next door. Well, apparently you hear that. So, like, that's just terrible. So, there's all kinds of things. Try them out. Ask questions before you sign up to one. And, yeah. If you are someone who, when the world stops around you, and you're standing in the grocery lineup, and you zip out your phone, and all of a sudden you're mindlessly scrolling, well, I'm sorry to say, but you should be in a float tank. If you hear the thought about a float tank and then you think, I would never do that, you should be in a float tank as soon as possible, multiple times. Okay, we cannot be afraid to be left alone by ourselves, because if we are, well, that's when we're not strong. We are extremely vulnerable in that state, because that means that anything can happen in the world. Our job could be taken away. Our house could be taken away. Maybe, unfortunately, you know, our family could be taken away. Like, there's so many things that could happen. And if you can't stand on your own two feet, well, you're gonna fall. So you have to be able to be comfortable with yourself. And that's why a float tank is, I always recommend them to people. So hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I'd love to know about your floating experience. I'm actually going to be floating probably this weekend. And I'll see if that is the thing, that it's been installed crooked. And hopefully I don't bump into the walls. So anyways, hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And I will talk to you again. Peace.